Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome to WAMS Radio on the Blog Talk Radio Network. I'm Burke Allen, and today, joining us live on the program, best-selling author Robert Liparulo has a brand new book called Deadlock that hits stores, in less than 2 months. And if you would like to talk to Robert live, the telephone number to call is 718-506-1944, 718-506-1944. It's a free call in the New York City metropolitan area. And calls are already lined up, and I think our first one is our guest of honor, Robert Liparulo. Hey, Robert, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Now, is it Robert or is it Bob? Set me straight on this.
Really? You can call me anything but late for dinner.
You got it. Well, hey, this whole book experience has become something a little bit more than that, because now not only are you an author, but I understand that the folks in Tinseltown are paying a lot of attention to you. I even saw something that said you are one of Hollywood's hottest new writers. How do you feel about that?
Well, it's nice to hear. It would be nicer to see it on the screen. Hollywood just takes a long time to get anything rolling and get it from the interest stage to the screen. And there's been interest in my work for really a couple of years. And there's always something that holds it up. The nice thing is that all of the people who are interested in making my stories into movies want to put a lot of money into the movies and make them big. But the downside to that is the bigger the movie is going to be, the more people have to approve and write off on it, and it goes through more committees, and that just slows the process way down.
Now, you had a book called Comes a Horseman that I guess there's some pretty big names in Hollywood that are attached to that, and then Germ after that, Deadfall. And the new book is Deadlock, and I just finished it a couple of days ago, the action-packed movie, edge-of-your-seat thriller kind of thing. Before we get to our phone calls, in 30 seconds or so, tell folks who haven't read the book yet what Deadlock is all about.
Well, it's about a newspaper columnist who is investigating a military industrialist for reasons that are kind of explained in Deadfall, the book prior to this one, but you don't need to have read Deadfall to read Deadlock. But there's a little bit of backstory in Deadfall that does explain a little bit of Hutch, that's the newspaper columnist, Hutch's interest in this billionaire military industrialist. And the military industrialist doesn't like being investigated and kind of sends out a threat to Hutch. And the threat goes wrong, and it turns out that Hutch's son gets kidnapped. And from that point forward, the book is about Hutch trying to get his son back.
And this newspaper columnist, I know you've got a journalism background and were a magazine writer and a newspaper writer for years before you became a novelist. Is Hutch you?
No, not really. I think that aspect of him comes from me, but Hutch really is modeled on a friend of mine who's the game warden in the Cheyenne area, and he's just a real outdoorsy type of guy and just a really cool guy to be around. And I really patterned Hutch after him. And, of course, I think all writers put a little bit of themselves in their characters, and the newspaper part of Hutch is from me.
Fair enough. We're talking to author Robert Liparulo about his new book, Deadlock. And part of this book takes place in Washington State in the Seattle area, and that's where we'll go for our very first phone call to Washington State. Hi, you're on WAMS Radio with author Robert Liparulo. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, who am I talking with?
My name is Angelis, and I'm from Einstein Elementary. And Robert Liparulo came to our school, and we all think he's amazing. And I'm not sure if he remembers me, but I'm the one who my librarian accidentally gave my book away, and he sent me two new copies signed, and yeah.
Fantastic. So, Robert, you have a whole series of books as well for young adults, right?
I do, the Dreamhouse King series, and that's a fun series. I really enjoy talking to the kids and writing for that age level. But I think they're still pretty scary and thrilling. So I would still categorize them as thrillers.
And did you read Robert's book?
Yes, I did. I've actually got a lot of kids in here, so can I pass around the phone so I can ask them questions?
Absolutely. Put somebody on the phone.
Okay, here's my friend Maddie.
All right, very good.
Hello, Robert LaPaul.
Hi, how are you?
Good. I'm the student that you sent the manuscript.
Okay. Have you read it?
I'm almost halfway through it. I think it's completely awesome.
Oh, great. Well, thank you. Don't give away any plot points.
I won't.
She's one of my early readers. I have a group of readers who will read my manuscripts before they're finished and before they go into the publisher, and she's one of them.
Oh, fantastic. Well, do you have a question for Robert?
Yeah. Does anything in the book relate to you, his life?
Now, are you talking about the Dreamhouse book or Timescape?
The Dreamhouse book, yeah.
The Dreamhouse books, okay. I think the Dreamhouse books have a lot to do with me and my life. And the whole story for the Dreamhouse series came from a dream that I had when I was young. And I think David, the main character in the book, is more me than any other character that I've written. So I think the Dreamhouse book's definitely close to my heart and definitely close to my life.
And have you made a 12-year-old cry yet? Because when you came to the school, you wanted to have a 12-year-old cry.
Well, I think I should explain that one. When I speak to schools, I sometimes tell them how I came to want to write novels, and it involved reading Richard Matheson's I Am Legend when I was 12. And there's a part in the book that made me cry. And here I was, this kind of tough 12-year-old boy, and I thought it was amazing that words alone could make me cry. And so for years after that, I used to go around telling people that what I wanted to do when I grew up is to make 12-year-old boys cry. So and what she's referring to is, have I made 12-year-old boys cry? You know, I don't know. I told that to one person, and it was in a middle school, and this hand came up, and he said, I'm 14, and I almost cried when I read your books because they were so scary. So maybe I have.
That's a great question. Are there any other kids there that want to ask a question before we move to our next caller?
Yeah.
All right.
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
Hi, this is Emma.
Emma, you're on the line with Robert Liparulo. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Thank you.
What's your question for Robert this afternoon?
Well, what benefits are there to being a famous author?
Well, he gets to talk to you, Emma, to begin with.
Exactly. Exactly. I love that. I really do. You know, probably I would say it's to be able to do exactly what I was designed to do. And that is to write stories. And so instead of having a frustration of having to do one thing to make a living and really wanting to do something else, I get to do one thing which makes my living, and it's exactly what I've always wanted to do. And I think that's the number one benefit of having some success in writing. I saw an interview with Dustin Hoffman once, and of course he's super huge, successful, and famous, but I felt a little bit of what he was saying when he was asked pretty much that same question, what's the best benefit of having some fame? And his answer was access to the people he wanted to talk to, because his name carried a lot of weight in certain circles. He could pick up the phone and talk to any celebrity or any star or any politician. And even at the lower level that I'm at, on the fame continuum, I still have access to people that I would like to meet and like to talk to, and especially in Hollywood, where I've been able to talk to celebrities and filmmakers that I really admire, and that probably is the second best thing about having some success?
That's a great question. Emma, thank you for calling, and thank everyone there in the house for calling in. We're going to hop on some of these other calls now. Robert Liparulo is our guest today, and he has not only this brand-new book called Deadlock, but, of course, this other series of books for young readers called Dreamhouse Kings. Are you ready for more phone calls?
Absolutely.
Robert Liparulo is our guest, and you can visit him online at robertliparulo.com. The new book, Deadlock, hits stores at the end of March, and let's talk to Tennessee. Hi, Tennessee. You're on the air with Robert Liparulo. Hello, caller. Are you there? All right. Well, let's move on down the line. We've got them all stacked up for you today.
Oh, wow.
Let's see. Next, we'll go to Texas. Looks like this call is from somewhere in the Denton, Texas area. Let's see if we can get them on the line. Oh, let's see. Hang on. We'll skip on. All right. Here's a caller from area code 607. Hi, you're on the air with Robert Liparulo.
Hi, this is Bonnie Calhoun from CFBA, Bob. Question. You brought back John Hutchinson in this book from Deadfall. Are you planning on bringing back any of the scary characters from, like, Comes a Horseman or Germ?
Well, not you mean in a subsequent book?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, I have an idea for a sequel to Comes a Horseman, which would bring back some of the bad guys from Comes a Horseman, like Olaf, and a couple that I can't really tell you about because it would break the secret. But yes, I do have an idea to do that, and I think both Comes a Horseman and Germ, sort of the ending kind of leaves it open for a possible return of some characters.
Yes, I noticed.
You know, and I don't do that to set up a sequel. I do that simply because I think life is kind of messy, and things don't get wrapped up the way they often get wrapped up in novels. And so I even though I want a satisfying ending to my stories, I don't want to make it so wrapped up that it's unreal. And so I try to mirror life that way, and it just happens that by doing that, it leaves the door open for returns like this. And I would really love to. I enjoy rereading my own work sometimes, and I had one person ask me why I wrote Comes a Horseman, and the only thing I could think of was that I had heard a quote once where somebody said, if there's a story that you want to read and it hasn't been written yet, you have to write it. And that's what Comes a Horseman was. It was a story I really wanted to read, and I couldn't find something like that out there, so I wrote it. And so I do enjoy reading my own work every now and then. Sometimes it's frustrating because every time you read something you've written, you want to change it, and of course once it's published you can't. But yes, that's a great question. Thanks.
Good, because some of your characters are such adrenaline pumpers that it's sort of like wanting the next fix, even though they scare you to death.
Well, and Olaf is really that type of character.
Yes.
And he's, I had a comic book manufacturer or producer really interested in that character, and I think they still are. And it was really interesting because they didn't want the story, they wanted the character. And just the character of Olaf, who's an assassin and Comes a Horseman, you know, just having somebody approach me to say, oh, we don't want the story, we want the character, was really interesting. But I understood because he's a real intriguing character, I think.
Yeah, especially
Bonnie, what do you like the best about Robert's work?
All of his work. His work makes you can't stop turning the pages. It makes your heart pump. These are books that you do not want to read when you're eating or when you're in Comes a Horseman, there's a bloody head sitting on the counter while the guy's eating a sandwich. You know, so you don't want to eat while you're, or Germ, in the beginning of Germ, the guy loses every ounce of liquid from every orifice he owns. So you just don't want to eat or be alone when you read his books, and it's sort of like one of those scary things that you want to stay away from it, but you got to touch it. So I just can't wait to read his books.
That's good. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for calling in, Bonnie. We appreciate it. You have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're welcome.
You know, I told someone, Robert, that after I read Deadlock, it was a lot like going on the biggest roller coaster in the biggest theme park, like at Six Flags. You know, you got your ups, your downs, your twists and turns, and I think we should talk your publisher into giving away bottles of Dramamine with every book we sell.
Oh, that's a great idea. I want for Germ, which is about a kind of a biological weapon or a modified virus that's kind of weaponized. I wanted them to give away a little bottle of Purell for it, or you know the hand cleaner, hand sanitizer.
That's great. Author Robert Liverullo is our guest today. The new book is Deadlock. It hits stores on March the 28th, and you can find out more at robertliverullo.com. Phone calls pouring in today at 718-506-1944. And if you can't get through on the telephone, you can always send us an instant message via our chat room. And now let's get to that caller down around Denton, Texas. Hi, caller. You're on the air with author Robert Liverullo.
Hey, this is Jake Chisholm from thechristianmanifesto.com.
Hey,
Bob.
You?
How are you doing?
Good.
Good to talk to you. I wanted to say first I was one of the lucky ones to get an advanced copy of Deadlock, and I cannot wait for everybody to check out this awesome story. It's really one of your best, so everybody has really got something to look forward to there.
What do you like best about this book, Jake?
Well, I fell in love with, you know, the characters from the first book, Deadfall, but like Bob said, you don't have to be familiar with that story to jump right in with Deadlock, but just the story of a man who cares about his family so much and is trying to overcome these really great obstacles to get a loved one back and some of the things he has to deal with. It's really a high intensity ride, and I can't wait for everybody to really, you know, get a hold of this story.
You know, and Jake brings up a great point, Bob, in that in this book, you know, unlike a lot of other action characters who tend to wrestle with their own personal demons, like, you know, John McClane from Die Hard or Jack Bauer from 24, this Hutch character has a pretty good moral compass.
He does, and the whole idea of the anti-hero, which is essentially a hero or a protagonist who has so many of his own, as you said, demons, that you really almost can't tell the good guys from the bad guys. That whole idea in literature, I don't necessarily buy as much because I really do believe in the essential goodness of people. And I think there are more good people than there are bad people. And really, Hutch is that type of person who you know, he does have his struggles and he has an obsession with bringing down this guy. And to the point where he's sort of losing his family because of it, but he's not so much of an anti-hero that we're struggling even to like him, and that was important to me that we understood Hutch as a regular guy, but I also think regular guys are pretty decent people.
Jake, do you have a question before we let you go?
Yeah, I do have one question for you, Bob. In all of your thrillers, one of your signature trademarks is your use of cutting-edge technology. And that's certainly the case with Deadlock. And in this instance, we have the use of virtual reality sort of mixed in with combat. And my question for you is, how real is this technology? What kind of research did you do? And what were some maybe terrifying things that you learned as you were looking into this story element?
Yeah, that's great. Thanks, Jake. That's a good question. A former journalist, I think I tend to over-research. I really look into the technological aspects of the stories that I go into. In Comes a Horseman, for example, there's something called a Deadeye, which is a weapon that shoots back at people who are shooting across a certain area. And for that, I interviewed the developer and asked him what's the next step in this technology? This is the way it is now, and that's really exciting, but where is it going to be in 5 years? And I did the same thing in Germ and really looked at what they were doing with gene splicing and where is it going to be in 5 years. And I sort of did the same thing in Deadlock, where I did a lot of research into virtual reality, into the training of soldiers using virtual reality, virtual reality warfare, virtual reality war games. I visited a couple of virtual reality studios. And really one aspect of the story that I worked into the story, which is very accurate, is how virtual reality and the training of soldiers using virtual reality and even the training of commanders with the strategically designed games within virtual reality, it's really almost meshing with video games. And in Deadlock, I make that connection, and I show how video games and virtual reality are almost blurring. And at this point for me, it's hard for me to even make a distinction between what we call virtual reality or virtual reality warfare or the virtual reality games and what kids are doing right now on Nintendo and Xbox and the Wii. It's coming so close to the way we've been training our soldiers for a number of years that it's almost, you might as well tell the kids in high school or college, wherever the recruiters are, come play video games, because that's really what a lot of these soldiers that are doing now, especially when we get into the private training facilities and the private military companies. They're really using cutting-edge technology, which is that blending or that intersection of video games and virtual reality. And what I did with that is I said, okay, here's where it is now. Where is it going to be in a couple of years? And I talked to some psychologists and some people in the military. One of my primary sources was a just-retired colonel who had worked at the Pentagon with the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and he knew a lot about private military companies and about what they were doing with virtual reality and virtual warfare and training soldiers. And it gets the scary part comes in when you start considering what happens when we take these young people who are our soldiers and immerse them in a technology that's designed to make you feel like you're there. And what happens is kind of a breakdown where they can't perceive reality anymore. Suddenly what they see through their face mask or in the virtual reality chamber, it becomes reality for them. And that's what the story is about, is how these soldiers are used and how they can be manipulated to do things they would not normally do through virtual reality and through high technology.
Scary stuff. Jake, thank you so much for the call. And you can read more about this in Deadlock when it hits stores on March 28th. Robert Liparulo is the author of that book and several other bestsellers. And we'll keep the calls coming for you at 718-506-1944. Let's go to Robert's home state of Colorado. Hi, you're on the air with Robert Liparulo. Hello, Colorado. Are you there?
Taking a break.
That could be. All right. Let's grab another telephone caller here and head down to, let's see, looks like Washington State is up next. Hi, Washington State. You're on the air with Robert Liparulo.
Oh, hi. I'm Hannah from Albert Einstein Elementary.
Hi, Hannah.
Hi. So I just had one question for you, Mr. Liparulo. Would you suggest the book Germ for like sixth graders?
I think Germ would work if you're an advanced reader. There was a time when I would have probably said no, but I recently came off of a school tour where I talked to a lot of middle schools, and I was just really surprised, one, by the number of people who have read Germ, and two, just by the sophistication, the reading sophistication level of a lot of the students that I talked to. I would say maybe give your parents a heads up and say, would you mind checking this out first? The first chapter is a little bit scary and intense. And if I the first chapter is a great testing ground to see if you're up for that book, because it really is intense, and there's a little bit of gruesomeness in it, in that somebody dies from an Ebola virus. So if you can read the first chapter, or your parents read the first chapter and say it's okay, I'd say go for it.
Thanks, Hannah, for calling in. We sure appreciate it.
My friend also wanted to ask a question.
Sure, put them on the air, and while they're coming into the telephone, any advice for folks? You've got lots of young readers for your Dreamhouse King series. Do you have any advice for folks that say, you know, I want to be a writer? Because they say everybody has at least one good book in them. It's that second one that's tough. So if there are folks who are listening and say, you know, I'd like to do that for a living, what advice would you give them?
Well, obviously, I'd say just do it, and don't let critics, don't let your internal critic, your teachers, your reading group people, don't let anybody tell you that it's not good. Each of us has our own voice in our writing, and it's always going to be different from somebody else's. And because it is different, you're going to get people who say, oh, that's not the way I would do it, or I would do it a different way. But it's that individual voice that makes us writers and makes us interesting to readers. If everybody wrote the same, then we wouldn't need a bunch of writers. We just hire one, or we hire a bunch of robots to sit down and write stories. But it's that individuality of our writing voices that make people want to buy different writers. And so many times I've heard that voice of a writer get squashed down, and I say just write it and love it and finish it and send it in, and the chances of having success by doing that is actually very high, in my opinion.
I think we've got one more young person who has a question for you, Bob. Okay. Are you there?
Yes.
Hi, what's your name?
My name is Marianne.
Hey, Marian, what's your question for Robert Liparulo?
I think he partly just answered this, but I'm in the middle of writing a book, and I was wondering how I would go about getting it published.
See, that's the million-dollar question. You're looking for a publisher. What can you tell her?
Well, the very best thing to do is to find an agent. Nowadays, most publishers want submissions through agents, because agents are trained to know what types of stories certain publishers are looking for, and it helps that publisher not to have to have or go through a lot of stories and a lot of books that they wouldn't publish, not because it's not good, just they don't publish that type of story. So they prefer that submissions come through agents. And the best way to get an agent is either to email an author and say, who's your agent, or do you have any suggestions? Or go to the Writer's Market, which is a book. It's a really thick book, and it has a list of agents and what the agents are looking for. Some agents are looking just for young adult or just children or just thrillers or just mystery. And that way you're sending it to the agent who wants those types of stories. And then what you do is you go to that agent's website, and all agencies, or I should say most agencies, will have a writer's guideline, and it'll tell you how to submit to them. It'll say, what we want is a short cover letter, and we want a two-page summary of what your story is about, and send it to this address. So that's the way to do it once you have your story down.
Robert, thank you so much for that great answer, and Marian, thank you for calling. Let's try to squeeze in one more call for you before we wrap up the show today. Things are going by very quickly. Hi, you're on the air with author Robert Liparulo. Hi, are you there? All right, let's try to take one more here. And hi, you're on the air with Robert Liparulo. Welcome to the show.
Yeah,
hello,
hey,
caller.
Bob. Yeah. Yeah, hey, Bob, how are you today? It's Wayne in Monument, Colorado.
Hey, how are you? Good.
Thank you so much for calling in. Do you have a quick question for Bob? Oh, it sounds like we've got a bad cell connection in Monument. I hate to hear that. Well, I'll tell you, the phones have rung off the hook for you today, Bob, but certainly appreciate you taking some the new book, Deadlock, and it comes out March 28th. If folks want to find out more about the book, can you give us your website address one more time?
Yes, it's Robert Liparulo, all one word, LIPARULO.com.
robertliparulo.com. The book is Deadlocked from Thomas Nelson Publishing, and Robert Liparulo has been our guest today on WAMS Radio. Thank you so much for taking the time to be on the program today.
Thank you very much. I had fun.
You bet. Best of luck with Deadlocked. Thanks for listening, everyone.